You know, I love that song. In that song is the message of this day. It's the message of Easter. The message that there is someone that lives that is able to accomplish what needs to be accomplished for us. My Redeemer lives. You know the first time those words were spoken? Why do we sing that song? Who said that first? You know who said that first? Guy said that a long, long, long time ago. Job said that. Over 4,000 years ago, Job was recorded as making that statement. Closer to the beginning of all things than to us. Here's his statement, and here's where this song comes from. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God. Whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see, and not another. My heart faints within me. And somehow, way back then, Job had this sense not only of seeing God at the end of all things, but his own resurrection, that he was going to stand before God as in some form as he was in his flesh after it long decayed, long rotted away. Job said, I'm going to stand, my eyes in my flesh, I'm going to see him. Job had the hope of resurrection. I do not know where he got that. But you know what? I know where you and I get it. We get it from what this day is all about. And every single fact of history and all the promises of the Bible tell you and me that Jesus Christ rose from the dead 2,000 years ago. And that a man got out of this world into an eternal life. And the message of his life is, you can follow me. You can enter into this too. I am here to open the doorway for you so that you can have this hope. And never, ever before was there any reason recorded in history for anyone to be sure there was another life. People always wondered if there was another life, but how could you ever know? And in the resurrection of Jesus, when the disciples looked at him and felt the wounds in his arms and spoke with him for 40 days and watched him ascend, they went, whoa, there is another life. And they were forever changed because every single day they knew, I'm leaving here, I am leaving here, I am leaving here. And I am headed for an eternal kingdom. That is the hope you and I are to live in. Our Redeemer lives. What's a Redeemer? In my mind, a Redeemer is someone who is able to make you okay when you've gotten in a bad place and somehow there's a label on you that says not good, not good, not acceptable. And a Redeemer can step into that and you go, no, I can redeem that. I can redeem your identity. I can make you acceptable again. I can make you worthy again. We see a great example of that in the book of Ruth. Remember, if you've read that story, it's this amazing, beautiful story. And there's this guy named Boaz, and he's called a kinsman redeemer. That means that he is able to buy back Naomi's life for her and Ruth's life for her by redeeming them and redeeming the property that was lost in the death of her husband. And Naomi said, if Boaz sets his heart to do it, he will do it and you can rest. He's our kinsman redeemer and he'll do it. He was alive, he was well, he was active, and he was engaged as a redeemer. And you know what? Your Redeemer is alive, he is well, he is active, and he is engaged. Your Redeemer lives. You see, otherwise, without that notion of Jesus resurrecting and eternity, and this being a real person and a real thing, it's just a concept. Well, there's a concept of redemption. No. I've got somebody that's going to do this. Some real person who is alive right now. He is my Redeemer. He is on record as saying that, and he is alive. My Redeemer lives. And all the stuff that gets splattered on me and all the stuff that makes me unacceptable, he says, listen, I got it. I am your Redeemer, and I live. You can stand in that. Your Redeemer lives. Because Jesus is alive right now. And as I thought about that song, the whole idea for this message came listening to Bethany sing this song in practice. I thought, well, who else is alive? Well, my advocate lives. And it says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And that means that there is forgiveness for me, that my advocate, the guy who comes alongside, you know, I have not fortunately had this experience, but I understand if you get arrested and you get a lawyer, your lawyer says, you've got to tell me everything. I have to know the whole story. If I'm going to defend you, I've got to know it all. If I'm going to go in there in that courtroom and be your advocate, I there can't be surprises. I got to know it all. You know what? Your advocate knows it all. Every single thing about you, every single corner of your life, every single part. That's what Jesus was like when he lived on this earth. Remember when he knelt down in front of the woman caught in the act of adultery? And then he stood up and he just scattered all of her accusers by saying, let him who has no sin cast the first stone, and everybody left. You think Jesus was deceived about what she was really like or where she'd really been or what she'd really done? Had she pulled the wool over Jesus' eyes? No, he knew all about her. He knew every single thing. And he was her advocate. He says, I know it all. And I am your advocate. When Jesus got the label of being a friend of sinners, you think he got that label because he was naive? Well, he didn't really get it. He didn't really know what those guys were doing. Oh, he was just their friends, but he was kind of clueless. I don't think so. I think Jesus knew it all. And yet the label that was put on him was a friend of sinners. That man lives. That one lives. Your advocate lives. And he knows everything about you. And he looks at all of it. And he says, I'm for you. I'm your advocate. I will stand before God and speak for you. My advocate lives. Well, who else lives? My good shepherd lives. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And what does a shepherd do? Well, he makes sure the sheep end up in a good place. And Jesus did that. He took the people that followed him and he led them to good things. And he taught them and he instructed them. And he knew when to rebuke and he knew when to encourage. He knew when to draw lines and he knew when to let it go. He knew exactly what it meant to lead into good in every individual life. He knew how to bring good to them because he knew them. My good shepherd lives. He knows me. And he knows you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus right now is alive? He knows you completely and fully, and his goal and his desire is to be your good shepherd and to lead you into that which is good, and he's a real person. It's not just some religious story. There's actually someone who made you, who knows you, who is living now, a person, and he cares about you and he wants to lead your life into that which is good. You have a good shepherd who lives. Can you lean into that? Can you lean into that? There's someone who cares about me. He knows me. He's alive. And he will lead me. And if you were to think in your own life, maybe, you know, take whatever knowledge you have of the Bible, and Jesus has a lot of different titles, labels, descriptors, and in all those things, he is alive for you right now because of the resurrection. He's actually alive. He's here. Are there any of those who would, you know, you go, oh man, oh yeah, wow, in that role, in that way, in that, as that person, he's alive for me right now. We could go on and on and on. He's my king. He's my judge. He's my friend. And he lives. Think about Jesus when he rose from the dead. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That means Jesus, as a living king right now, is responsible and in charge of everything. Now, there's lots of stuff going on that's not what he wants. And he's going to address all of it. But you can know that your king is absolutely sovereign and has absolute right to rule over all things. And you, if you put your trust in him, belong to him. You belong to the living king. And everyone else outside of that is outside of what's really truly going on. Because what's really truly going on is it is now his. And it's all going to roll into his kingdom. He's your judge. He's living and he's your judge. He's watching you right now. And maybe that makes you feel really nervous and you're like, oh my goodness, that's sort of a downer. But put it this way. If he's the one that's going to measure your life, you do not have to worry about me measuring your life or anybody else. You are completely free of everybody else's opinion or thought or judgment. It's like what you think is irrelevant. I got somebody watching me, and he's the guy I'm going to please. And the honest truth is, he's not that hard to please. All of us who have kids know that. You know, we're going to see some kids up on stage here in a little bit, and they're really going to please us. And we're going to be reminded how easy it is for kids to please their father. All it takes is a heart to turn that direction. Your judge lives. You can let the rest of them go. And I wanted to share one more, because this really struck me a couple weeks ago with the song that Edgar and Dan led us in. And my bridegroom lives. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. And the bride, dear friend, is us. In some way, your destiny, and you're going to be there. You are going to be there. It's not a story. You are going to have this experience. There's going to be this huge, huge event. All the important angels are going to be there. And there's going to be this amazing man. And I don't know if he's going to be in a tuxedo or not. I'm not sure how it works up there. Maybe a tuxedo robe or something like that. But he is going to be immensely handsome. And he's going to walk over to you. And at some point in the ceremony, he's going to say, can we dance? And it won't be the angels he's dancing with. It won't be the archangels he's dancing with. You are the bride of Christ. Can you wrap your head around that? Probably not. your bridegroom who is waiting for you. Your bridegroom lives. Whoa. And I believe those things. I believe those things. And I don't always remember them. But they're not, and they're not true because I believe them. I believe them because they're true. And whether you believe them or not, if your hope is in Christ, one day you're going to be there and he's going to walk up to you as part of this body, however it works, in that glorious combination where God takes the beauty of family and the beauty of marriage and he wraps it all up and we are one as the bride and one as the family, and he walks up and he says, "You're mine." And that's it for all eternity. Your bridegroom lives. Your redeemer lives. Your friend lives. It's true. And that's what we get at Easter. It's no longer just religious concepts, but there's a person, and he's really there, and we can pray to him, we can speak to him, we can trust him. He is trustworthy. And he's our God. So when you think about Easter, grab that thought, lean into that thought, remind yourself every day, and we're going to hear the Easter story, and we're going to watch a little Easter celebration. And then after that, I want to just remind us about, so what does it mean to believe this? Where do we need to go with that? What does that call out of us? So let's take a minute. Let's just hear the Easter story read to children. And I think the children are going to get invited up if they'd like to come up. And Jason's going to do that for us. Put stuff together now. Jesus is with us here today, and I trust he'll love all that we do this morning. But I just got to believe he was smiling, watching those guys dance. And you know, that should be a lesson to all of us. How God looks at us. Because you see, you're not that much older than they are when you're talking about eternity. We're all kids. We're all kids. And he sees us that way. And, you know, Jesus has a purpose in what's going on in the world. He promised he was going to come back, but he hasn't come back yet. Because there's things that aren't finished, things that aren't done. Once it's over, it's over. And nothing that can come out of this world will ever have a chance to come out of it again. And so even though there's lots and lots of things that grieve God, lots and lots of things that will not be and will certainly never be in heaven, there is a purpose here. And just as Jesus lived in that purpose, and lived in hardship, and lived in a world where many things were difficult and wrong. So he asked the same of us, and we find ourselves living there. But God is bringing out of this world a faith in himself. He's creating a family. He's creating a kingdom of people. He's creating people brought back into what we were made for. And what you were made for is you were made to know God. That's ultimately what's really going to make your life click. Because that's why God made you. He said, "I made you for myself. I made you so we could connect." And though we try to find connection in lots of other things, and we try to find other things, and the world is full of good stuff. God's filled it with all kinds of wonderful stuff. And yet there's something that's never quite right until we make that connection. So God leaves the world here drawing people to himself. And he's doing that very thing. Actually, you guys are part of something historical that you might not even realize. Actually, you probably don't. But all this started as that song and the story shared that Jason read. All this started with just a couple women showing up at a tomb. Very, very... unimpressive start. especially in that day, women showing up at a tomb and they're going to claim that someone is alive that had been dead. And women had such low standing in that culture, they were not even allowed to give legal testimony. So God picked people that didn't even really have a right to speak. And he said, we'll start with them. Let's start with them. And from those few women, it went to his 12. From the 12, it went to about 120. And something began, which has gotten larger and larger every single generation. And this morning, around the world, over 2 billion people are coming together to do what you are doing. And because there are more Christians this year than last year, and because there are more Christians in the world than there are any other thing except gender, male or female, you are at the largest celebration that has ever taken place on the planet, Easter 2017. There are more people worshiping Jesus today than has ever happened before in the history of the world. But there'll be more next year. And there will be more next year. And there will be more the year after that. Though we don't see that in our country, all over the world, in Asia, in Africa, more and more and more people. There are now more Christians in Red China than there are in the United States. You are part of the largest movement on the planet and the largest movement in history, and it is the Church of Jesus Christ, and he makes it bigger every single year. From 2 women to 2 billion. And when it's full, it's over. And when it's full, it's over. So what does he want? What is he doing? What is his purpose and his mission? Well, I just want to share a few things with us, because you heard an Easter message last year, a lot of you did. And you heard one the year before that. And God is hoping that not only does it get bigger, but it gets deeper. So we can serve and honor him by going, you're a living God. You're a living Savior. You're a living Redeemer. Lord, I want it to be deeper in me. I want it to be more real in me. I want it to take up a bigger part of me. I want to walk in it more fully. That's the heart that will come to you when you really believe your Redeemer lives. So let me just share a few things that I think God wants us to walk in. We need to bring him into the... did I back up? Somebody already started me. We need to trust him with our present circumstances. And Hebrews 4 says this, we don't have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. And in knowing Jesus lives, you and I know someone who not only is God and alive now, but you know what? Every single thing that rips your heart apart, that stabs your conscience, that somehow tears at your humanity, Jesus knows that. Jesus knows that. I believe when he walked the earth, he experienced every difficult thing that can be experienced. Probably his dad died when he was young. We don't know what happened to Joseph. We know he experienced betrayal and injustice, hardship, poverty. What's rolling into your life? You can look at Jesus and you can go, oh, you get it. You get it. You know. That's the one that lives. And you need to trust him with that stuff. Not go, I got to find another answer. I can only go to church when I don't have problems. And when I have problems, I got to, you know, go get them fixed so I can go back to church. I know people that have really believed that. No. This is a place where we go, whoa, my life is filled with all kinds of crazy stuff. And this is a place where God says people are supposed to come together and connect with someone who goes, I get it. We can be honest Because we come before someone who lives and who knows. I am with you always to the very end of the age. What hasn't ended yet. So he's with you. He's with you. Do you believe that? He said it. He rose from the dead. But you have to let it in. We need to bring him into the world. We need to bring into the world what is fitting of him and honoring to him. You know, if we just were a group that believed in great ideals, it would be important to live out those ideals. It would be important to try to, you know, actually do those things. But when we're talking about a real, actual person who can be hurt, who could be offended, you know what? You know you have the power to hurt God. He has given you an immense amount of power. You can hurt God. It says in Genesis that he was grieved. And it says that we can grieve his heart. He's a real person. You could hurt my feelings. You know, you could walk up to me after this and go, "What a joke. I can't believe I showed up here." And I'd be hurt. I could hurt your feelings. I could grieve your heart. I could do what dishonors you. We can do that with real persons, with real people. Jesus is not some weird spirit just floating around out there. He's a person. And he loves you. And he wants to engage with you. And one day he will be honored. But many times in the world now he's not honored. But you and I who know him and who say, "Hey, you're my Redeemer. My Redeemer lives." God says, "Well, then I want you to walk with me like I'm here. I want you to honor me." And in your life, when you think about what you do and how you live and where you go and what rolls through your life, do you go, "That is fitting and honoring to the one I follow. That pleases him. I bring my life to him. He's tracking with me and I'm tracking with him. And Jesus, I don't want to dishonor you. You're a real person to me." And as you make that choice, your faith will grow. Your faith will get stronger because you're walking in a relationship, just like with anybody else. You want a good friendship with somebody? Track with them, unite with them, honor them, walk in what's pleasing to them, and you'll get closer and closer and closer, and your friendship gets stronger and stronger and stronger. You want to be closer to God? You just go, "Whoa, God, this would honor you. This is kind of what you're looking for. This is what you'd smile at. I'm going to bring this because I think this will make you smile." And your faith will get deeper and deeper and deeper. And you'll become more of what God came to bring. And in Matthew 28:18, it says, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." He's the guy. Does his church live like that? And in many places in the world, people have to pay a really high price to retain an association with Jesus' name. Some places they'll cut your head off. And yet you and I in America, as our culture has slowly drifted away, we're caught in a drift where it used to be a place where you could live in just the average American life, and you're sort of honoring God living the average American life. But now the average American life can lead you into lots of things that don't do that, and we drift along. And you know what? At some point we have to go, "That doesn't honor the guy I'm tracking with. I disconnect. I don't do that one. I don't walk that place. I'm tracking with him. And if all the Christians in the United States would just go, you know, you don't have to get radical politically. This is not a political world. If you just go, "I'm just tracking with Jesus. That doesn't honor him. I'm not going. I'm not doing it. I'm not checking in. I'm not," because it doesn't honor him. The entire country would change. If Christians would just honor that person, the only person in all of reality that deserves to be honored. There's only one person that deserves to get his way. None of us in this room deserve to get our way. Nobody else does either but one. And there is one person that deserves to get his way. And our hearts need to be set on that. He deserves to get his way. He deserves to be happy. Who deserves to be happy? He deserves to be happy. He should get what he wants. My Redeemer lives, and I want to give him out of my life what's pleasing to him. And that's what God wants us to grow in. You were formerly darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And that's who we are. We follow a living person. And lastly, we need to have our joy set on what's waiting for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus walked into hard things. That's one way you are very like God. Ever feel like you're like God? You're like God in that you walk into hard things. You could probably bring to mind right now, God, this is hard. God, this is hard. God, this is hard. And in every one of those hard things, you look for a hope. You look for something that's going to resolve it. You look for something that's going to make it better. And you know what? In some of those hard things, there is a resolution in this world. You can hope for a better grade on your math test, and if you study hard, it may resolve in this world. But you know what? There are things that may not resolve in this world. They may not resolve here. Do you have a hope that goes beyond this world? Do you know how to set your joy outside the boundaries of this world? For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. As a Christian, you must grow in that. God, I want my answer now. God, I want my answer now. God, I want my answer now. And Jesus says, it may not be. It may not be. But I promise you, there is an answer that will fully satisfy you, and you will say, it is enough. It's enough. God, stop. I'm overwhelmed. It's enough. And it's coming. And you can fix your hope on it because it is sure. Do you know how to do that? His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Your living Redeemer has gone to prepare a place for you. And if he's gone to prepare a place for you, he's going to come and get you and bring you back to where he is. Jesus said that. And he's going to look at all that you brought him and all that you've done for him. And he's going to say, enter into the joy of your master. Can your heart wrap around a resurrected life where the resurrected one says to you, you brought this to me in this world. This is what I will bring to you in mine. Can you live for that? Oh, we're taught to live for the moment. Every advertisement, live for now, live for now. You want it now, get it now. $9.95 with extra, you know, whatevers. And Jesus said, ooh, a lot of those aren't going to work. A lot of those aren't going to work. Lock in here. I promise you, you will say, enough. God, it is so much blessing. I just can't deal with any more. I'm good. That day is going to happen to me and to you. I believe it. And I want to make it as rich as I can. First Thessalonians, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. And so Paul here is speaking to the Thessalonians about how things are going to end. And then he says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. I thought, how often do I encourage other people with those words? I got a good friend who's a pastor up in Minneapolis, and he says, this is his line. He says, look on the bright side. We'll all be dead soon. Of course, I always smile. But you know what? The most encouraging thing to me is there's not a power on earth that can keep me from dying. I will die. And I will enter into the joy of my master. And Jesus is coming for me. And I got a lot of fun things I want to do before then. I'm going down, rafting down the Grand Canyon next week. And I got a life full of fun stuff I want to do. There's roads I haven't ridden. There's things I want to do. But I know the answer's not in this life. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of hardship. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't resolve here. And nothing can stop me from getting home. I am going home. And so are you. If your hope and your faith has received that promise that Jesus offered, and he offers it to every single person. He just says, hey, who wants to come? Who wants to come? I remember standing on the corner of Maple Willow Larch Dorms on Lincoln Way in Ames, Iowa, going, God, I'll come. If you'll have me at 20 years of age, and something in my life changed, and God came into me. He's just an invitation. Do you want him? God just says, hey, you want to come home? Would you come home? Would you come home? Would you come home? And he wants an answer from our heart. He says, I will. Thanks for giving me the chance to come back to my Father and to come back to my home. That's the gospel. Your Redeemer lives. Do you believe that? Your friend lives. Your King lives. Your Judge lives. Your Advocate lives. He is living right now. He will be with you all day long because he resurrected from the dead and he's in another kingdom and he's waiting for you. Hallelujah. I can't wait. I just think about heaven all the time. A lot of you guys know I'm going to be building roads up there. I got my job all picked out. It's going to be totally awesome. Imagine being somewhere where you know how to love people and they know how to love you. Incredible. And what do we mess up here all the time? Our relationships. And what do we want down here more than anything else? Relationships. And what are you going to have up there that you never mess up? And they're always perfect, and they always work. All your relationships, including the one with God. That's a place worth going. That's a kingdom worth being part of. I would not miss it for the world. So let's pray. Let's just thank God, and we're going to sing some songs here. And the band's going to do a responsive part in our first song, and you'll get to listen some, and you'll get to sing some, and then we're going to close with a couple more Easter songs. That'll be the end of our service. But let's just look to our Redeemer. Lord, we just thank you that you came to every Easter service today. Lord, you are a busy person. A lot of places. Entering into the faith of all these people, billions of people, coming together today. Your church that you are building every year, more people. You're accomplishing your purposes. And Lord, I pray just grant us faith. I pray as we live tomorrow and the next day and Wednesday and Thursday, there'd be a deep confidence in us that our Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My life is full of trouble. There's huge challenges. There's incredible stuff. But the biggest thing is I have an eternal Redeemer who loves me and he lives. And he will address it. He will take care of it. I can trust him. The biggest thing in my life is not my problems, it's my God. Give us that faith, Lord. Help us look at this world with love and compassion because we've got something bigger than all of it. Lord, I love you. I want to grow in my faith in you. I want to walk with you more fully. I want to live out that offer you've given me more deeply, and I pray you'd help every one of us do that. And just help us be filled with that confidence that we are yours, even as we sing and close this service in Jesus' name. Amen.